Don't wait.
Hello?
Hi Marcus, it's Brenda, just checking it's working. Can you see
me?
Yeah?
I can't see you, I can hear you. Yes, I can see you, yeah.
Right. Okay, you guys...
Are
you okay to start now then, if
everybody's
okay?
Are you ready to film, Mama?
I'll leave you with
set up,
Jade.
We'll start.
I don't care. Hang on, just remove the hot. Lewis.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Right, what's don't knock that out?
Okay.
Chill some help. Have you got it? Lewis.
I know.
Hiya.
Hi.
Who are you guys?
Hello.
What are your names?
Get in.
Hi guys, tell me who you are.
It's Jake, I'm Jade, and that's Lewis.
Jade Lewis, okay, cool, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
I'm Marcus, obviously. Okay, do you want to go ahead?
Oh.
Who's going first?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
What made you write the story first? Hang on, what book is it?
Yeah, what's
the... She's my invisible.
I can't see.
Oh,
she's
okay. Invisible. What made me write it?
Yeah.
The main thing in this book for me is the thing about coincidences. There's a lot of different things in this book, but it's coincidences that was the starting point. Because I just have always loved coincidences. I don't know what you guys feel about them, but I find most people find them quite cool. When one happens to you, you get that kind of sense of excitement. And even if it's quite a small thing, it's still quite an exciting thing, and you can't wait to tell someone about it. But have you ever noticed that thing? Have you ever told someone a coincidence that you're really excited about, and then you tell them, you just see this completely bored look on their face?
Yeah. Because
it's really hard to convey to someone else that sense of excitement that you have, why it was special, why it was weird, and you end up saying that really lame thing of, oh, well, you just had to be there, don't you? So I realised it's quite a hard thing to write about coincidences, and then I spent a long time, and when I say a long time, I think about 7 years in total, on and off, not obviously all the time, trying to think of a way to write about coincidences that would work. So then eventually I came up with the idea to write about someone trying and failing to write about coincidence, because I knew a lot about that, because that's what I'd been trying to do for 5 or 6 years. And then the thing about Lorith being blind is a much later idea that only came in the last 2 years of that 7 years. And that was just complete chance, really, because I met a couple of blind girls and was really impressed by them and just thought, well, I haven't written about a blind person, why not? Because I've written about lots of different kind of people and it seemed time to do it. So. Okay. Who's next?
Me still. I really like the characters in your book, so will you be writing any more around those characters?
I don't think so. I've never really written... Every book I write pretty much is a standalone book. I've done a couple of books that have sequels, but it's not really what I like to do. Because I like to I get really into one subject and I want to write a book about that, and then, you know, my attention moves on to something else. But I agree, I really like these characters in this book. I've already written my next book. Comes out in October, and it could not be more different from She Is Not Invisible. I don't know, maybe one day I will come back to them. I think I might try and write more in that style again, but probably not with those characters again.
Yeah.
Who's next? Jake, I can only see half your face, Jake.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was the main character inspired by anyone you know?
Well, not any one person, but as I said, I met a couple of blind girls, and that made me... and then I went to visit one of them in her house, and she was quite little at the time. She was about 11. And then I discovered that there was this blind school in Worcester. Where are you guys? You're up in the northeast, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Worcester...
Northwest, sorry.
Worcester's down in Birmingham, and there's a school there that is only for blind and visually impaired children, goes from 11 to 18, so they go in at 11 and they do their A-levels there, and there's only about 70 students in the entire school. And then I met a whole bunch of kids there, but there was a group of about four or five of them in particular that I spoke to on several occasions. So Lorith is probably a mixture of all of those people, and then a mixture of me, with a little bit of me if I were blind. How I could, obviously I can't know what that's like, I can only imagine, but that is my job, I'm a writer, I'm supposed to be able to imagine it. So it's not any one real, probably a mixture of people.
Did you go to New York to, like, research the story, and what do you think of the city?
I didn't go specifically to research, but I'm lucky enough to have been to New York quite a few times. My partner is actually from New York, so we visit her mum, you know, once a year at least, and so I've been there quite a few times, so I had that advantage. And I chose it because it is, I mean, it's a fantastic, have you been to New York, any of you?
No.
Yeah. No, okay. I mean, Jade, you say, you know, it's such a cool place, isn't it? And I defy anyone to go to New York and not have a good time. It's such a... And the thing is about New York, when you go there, you've already been there because you've seen it 1,000 times in films. You know it really well.
Yeah.
You know, and all those... You might suddenly you'll realise you're on a corner where, you know, you saw such and such a film, something happened, you know, whether it was a Spider-Man movie or whatever it was, you know. So it really doesn't feel that strange in some ways, but on the other hand, it is kind of strange because everything, you're in a foreign country, but everything's in English.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, not you go to a foreign country and everything's in a foreign language, so you know you're in a foreign country, but here you are in this country that we know really, really well because of American TV and American culture, films, etc., books. And yet, you still have to admit that it is a foreign country, and I find that really, really fascinating. And if you think about where New York came from, you know, 300-400 years ago, a bunch of people who were fed up with religious intolerance in Britain go off and settle in America, and then, you know, they settle in, it was the Dutch, first of all, who settled in what is now New York. So it's as if, like, England and America split at that point, and this is just a different version of what England might have become. And I find that idea really interesting, too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a great city to set a story, and I've done so much research about blindness, about coincidence, I needed to save some time about where I would set the story, so that was another reason to set it there, because I was saying you the city reasonably well.
Let me just grab the book, because yeah. I noticed on the back of some of the chapters there's like little box. And there's 13 little books on the back of some of the chapters. Why aren't they on all of them?
Now, see, this is where I have... Did you spot any of the stuff about 354 in the
book?
Yeah, okay. So I worked really, really hard on all those 354 things in the book, like it finishing on page 354. Actually, that one is interesting, because that one I had to do in conjunction with my publisher. Because I wrote the book, and I wrote it. It's... very roughly, it's 49,000 words long. And I knew that you could make a book of that many words fit 354 pages if you adjusted the number of words per page and the size of the page and all that kind of stuff. So that one I had some help from my publisher over. But all the other ones, and I spent a long time hiding these 354s in there in various ways. But then the designer, my publisher, they just wanted to put that little book in there. And I had no control or say over that. So that one has no particular meaning or significance or anything. They just put it in where they felt like it, I think. And I didn't even... There's 13 of them, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll go away and concoct some reason why it has to be 13. But you'll know it's not true. So.
How did you get the name of the book?
She is not invisible. I think if you turn to like the first or second page, somewhere in the title page is the quote from a man, Francis Bacon, who was a philosopher in Elizabethan times, a writer and a philosopher. And he wrote, I'd actually written the book and was still trying to find a title for it, which happens quite sometimes. You know, you've finished the book, but you're still trying to come up with the title. And if you find that quote, you'll see it's a longer quote, and it's about a book, or an essay, I should say, that he wrote on fortune, as in the sense of meaning the word fate, chance, fortune. And it just so happened that quote